Futurama episode 714. Put a ring on that planet. Hello and welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. If you're returning, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. My name is Chuck Tomasi from Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me right over there across the virtual table is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. I'm glad to get back at this. Seems like we've been podcasting in a while.
Yeah, like twice in the last 2 months or something. We're not holding up a very good record at this point, but
no,
good to be here anyway.
Yeah, it's good. And I'm sure we got some more travel and stuff coming up. So
a little bit worse.
Well, like, we'll let everybody know as we go along.
Yeah, a little bit in July, later in July, and then into August. So, and then we get into Dragon Con. So summer months, you know, people travel. It happens. That's why you get an RSS feed and you subscribe to a podcast. So when they're available, they just show up.
That's right. You don't. Now, I was in Atlanta. Speaking of Dragon Con, I was in Atlanta this last weekend.
Yeah.
I texted you and I guess it was Clinton. And I said, I'm in Atlanta. I'm wondering if I should go and try and do one of those. Where is everybody? Pictures.
You had texted me and then you sent a message on our group chat.
Well,
we both had the same idea in two different places without consulting each other. We both said, go be the first in line for something.
Yeah. Well, I sent it to you personally. Then I thought it would be more funny if I sent it to everybody.
I laughed when I saw Clinton's response. That's when we know we've been working together way too much.
That's right. Well, needless to say, I did not go. Actually, that would have been the time to ask the Marriott staff, hey, can I go see that carpet? You know, that's like behind their, isn't it behind their counter or something?
They have a chunk of the old carpet somewhere?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen, sometimes people post pictures. They'll go there and they'll ask and they'll take them back there. I think it's behind.
Like in the office section or something?
Yeah. It's like, and it's just like a small little hallway area, you know, where they got some. So
I think that's a dangerous statement, walking up to somebody saying, can I see your carpet? I don't know. It sounds wrong.
Maybe. Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the feedback. We asked a question of the week last week, so we have to play the honorary music.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters.
All right, before we get into the question of the week, I've got some feedback.
I got a voicemail,
but I didn't have a chance to put it on the soundboard, so I'm just going to read what Google Translate gave me. It says, hi, guys, it's Gary from Jacksonville. This is from May 10th. We were off that week. He says, still catching up on Technorama, but hey, Chuck, I'm on episode 709, and it's May use predicted. I would be there till June. Don't buy any lottery tickets anytime soon. Take care. Bye, guys. He may have said it's as you predicted.
Right.
He sent us a previous voicemail that said, I'm catching up. And I said, you'd probably be caught up by June. So now it's June.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
He's almost there.
Ooh,
what'd you say? 709, right?
Halfway there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We also have a couple from Mad Marv. He's writing back. When we had our question of the week, it said, what are the best voiceover actors that are still alive? He says, here's my pick for best narrator, Jeff Hayes. He's narrated many lit RPG audiobooks, and he has one of the most impressive range of character voices I've heard. Here's a clip of him cold reading characters from the Dungeon Crawler Carl series. Most people don't realize / believe he does a female voices in the books. All right, now, I have a clip, but it's on the wrong computer. See, I should be playing this on the audio computer and not reading it on the reading computer.
Oh, come on. Rookie move.
He also says, Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs has a great set of pipes. Amen to that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
In fact, that's how he got his start in a career. He did voiceover work first.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let me see.
And then a million Discovery shows.
Yeah, a million Discovery shows later. We have another one from Mad Marv on last week's show. He says, regarding full voicemail boxes, Craig.
Yeah.
I've come across a lot of full voicemail boxes. Most of these people can't disable or don't know how to disable voicemail on their phones. They would rather people not leave messages, so a full mailbox is their workaround.
Hey,
it is annoying as a caller to run into this, and it's just as annoying to run across people who do disable voicemail and the phone call drops abruptly. Oh, I didn't know you could disable voicemail, but that's even more rude.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Leave a voicemail message. Hi, you've reached the voicemail of Chuck Tomasi. I don't want to leave voicemail. If you can leave voicemail and the voicemail box is not full, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm just going to promptly delete it. Now, that wouldn't be very nice. Not very professional.
Actually, I just realized why mine was full. I changed pharmacies.
Yes.
And from Walgreens. And they keep calling with reminders, even though I told them.
And they filled it up. Why? No. Again, well, yeah. Why even put a limit on voicemail? There's no limit on email, and that's bigger.
I'll tell you how many are in there. So there's 11. There's 11 voicemails. Really? Why? That's the limit? 11. So
11. Oh, we got a message here from Jared Cooper. We were talking about lining up for Dragon Con. He said, because he lives down in Florida, he says, does that mean I should drive over to Port Canaveral and take a first in line pick for the Star Trek cruise? That's not till next February.
Yeah, go ahead and go. We'll meet you there.
That would be funny. We should get our listeners to take pictures and send them to us of places you would go, or maybe where people go, and you just want to be first in line for something.
Yeah, that's right.
It's way out of season.
Yep. Actually, I think I was thinking of several things I want to wait in line for. Actually, just a table, you know, to go eat in Atlanta, you know, during Dragon Con. That's a procedure in itself.
Oh, we got one more here from Tom Pose. Long time listener. He said, something I saw regarding our discussion years ago about the drivers not paying attention. In a Twitter thread by @GreenTheOnly, he explains how Tesla is now tracking additional information such as the number of recent yawns and blinks by the driver and the duration of each blink.
Okay.
This data is all used to calculate the driver's level of drowsiness or fatigue. Listen to Technorama. You won't get tired.
Yeah.
It says, it remains unclear how the car will utilize this information, but according to what Green has discovered, Tesla plans to apply this feature even when the car is not operating on autopilot.
Well, you know, I know from some officers, I did not have this experience myself, but they did say that if you're sitting in your car and you've been drinking, they can get you for DUI because it's the intent you're going to drive, which I was like, it's a little minority report there, but but that's what the law says. You can't be behind the wheel, whether it's on or off.
I'm not sure if it was my car or a rental or something, but I was driving a car, and you know, when you've got the lane checking, and it says, "Hey, you're drifting. You know, get back on the road," which is nice. Right. You know, they're watching the lines and everything. Sometimes it's a false positive. Like when you're merging onto a highway and all of a sudden the line disappears, like, wah! The car kind of freaks out at times. Or you're making a left-hand turn and it thinks you're about to collide into somebody nearby. It's like, no, I'm making a left-hand turn and so are they. Okay. It's it's like, beep, 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 beep. It's like, slow, you know, calm down. Well, if you do enough of those in a certain amount of period of time of lane deviations, he goes, are you getting tired? Do you need to pull over and take a rest?
Have you had too much to drink? Should we pull over?
And have another drink?
Yeah, that's right. So you don't hit a bump and spill it. So, you know, I was just thinking about my friend Fred and I used to work in Charlotte, you know, 30 minutes from here, really around the corner from each other. And sometimes we would follow each other home. I mean, I would be like behind him on the highway.
Yes.
And I knew, obviously I knew it was him, but I would screw around with him, and I'd kind of go back and forth in the lane, you know, just behind him. There's no cars around, you know, or I wouldn't put anybody in danger, but just behind Fred, screwing with him. And I can imagine if I had a car like that, hey, are you doing okay?
It shuts down because you're not a competent driver. You're going to kill somebody. Stupid technology.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go on to our question of the week. We asked you last time, what's a trope you love but can't seem to find enough of? And Lone Guy's Knight wrote in, he said, women superheroes. Oh, yeah.
That's a trope?
Yeah.
That would be a trope.
It's a thing, I guess. Jack Mangan said, evil podcasters. That's not us. So maybe we have to give him more evil technorama.
Well, Mike Robinson says, whatever Bruce Campbell is doing.
Wasn't that in amongst? Oh, yeah, he's got a whole bunch of them.
That's right. So
he also said, midgets with flamethrowers and or large artillery. The tree-hugging bum with an arsenal that is not afraid to help the plucky young hero. Let's try another one. Old sage with the young smoking hottie friend. The old doorstop that just happens to be the piece of whatever they need to make something work.
Right.
Yeah, it's usually it's on the shelf, you know, that they have been sitting there for 30 years and nobody realizes what it is. Oh my gosh, it's the key to somebody's castle. You know, I haven't seen this one, but Mike, you got to send us your movie list to find out where you're watching Werehamsters. It's like a werewolf.
I don't think I've
on
ever
the full
heard
moon,
that before.
On every full moon, you are cursed to turn into a werehamster. And,
yeah,
then he goes out and makes commercials for what's the car? The one with the big hamsters they get into it to drive around.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. They should have gone that way, leads them to where they need to go. And yeah. Mimes in the military. Just throwing it out there.
Mimes in the military. That's a trope?
Okay. I think he's jonesing for new ones. That's what this sounds like.
Well, we did say trope you love but can't seem to find enough of. So
maybe he stopped at you just can't seem to find.
Right.
Well, yeah. Enough could be one. You know, maybe that's all he needs.
Maybe that's all he needs, yeah. Our buddy Steve London says
he's got a list.
Pirate movies or movies on the high seas with tall ships.
Good.
But not in a Johnny Depp movie. I assume Pirates of the Caribbean, Disney, mangled mess of mercs. More like older
maritime movies.
He says, I did like Black Sails and Crossbones.
Okay.
But I want movies with the same feeling. And yes, Master and Commanders is a favorite. Yes, I remember that movie, Master and Commander.
Yep.
By the way, I had to look up what you meant by trope. Thanks, Reddit. You learn something new every day. And yes, you had to press see more. Yes, I did. This time as well. Always Seymour.
We're going to start calling Steve Seymour.
That's right.
Seymour. Seymour Video. Right. One of my favorite demo usernames.
Seymour. You know, one of my backdoor users for myself, I'd use my name backwards. So it's like, it says
Jerk
Epits. Yeah.
We should do that too.
Yeah. What actually was funny is I forgot I had it in there and one of my coworkers was going through users and like, who is this Girk Epitz?
They couldn't that figure guy. That out.
I know. I said,
wow.
It's backwards. He went, oh,
not a cryptographer there.
That was funny. That was funny.
Fritz Ulrich Seward says 101 of time machines, how to build them in your garage with a budget of $499.95. And without the use of unobtainium, how to test them and how to operate them. He wants more time machine movies.
Yes.
All right. I shared
actually,
this. Did I get any
actually,
comments?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. That's a trope I like when they take a slightly different spin on it is time travel movies. I can get behind those. It does, if they're all very similar, it gets a little old, but some that take a different spin on them, I like that.
It's got to be somewhat believable, though. Mm-hmm. I you know, when they go back to dinosaur times, I kind of lose it.
Well, that's the time machine from H.G. Wells.
And what was the series that was on TV? I can't remember. It's fairly recent, like within the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Darn it, can't remember.
Like in Infinity, or I mean, Endgame. I mean, for Marvel. I like the way they did it. Although it's a little unbelievable, you know, a bunch of superheroes going the way they. I like what they did. I should say. So.
All right, let's get on with the rest of the show. We are done with our feedback. We'll have another question for you at the end, though. With luck, we'll read it next week.
Yay.
Because it's history time. Speaking of dinosaurs, that'd be us. On this day in history for June 21st, 2023, it's the 172nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. We are, we're almost halfway there, but we're still living on a prayer. There are 193 days remaining in 2023. It was on this date in there's only two events, but there's a buttload of birthdays. That. It's a weird day. Well, everything was either plane crashes or natural disasters or wars. Oh, like,
we
don't want that. So we have some sciencey stuff. Because today in 2004, Spaceship One became the first privately funded spaceship to achieve spaceflight.
Really? Okay. I did not realize that. Okay. Pluto's newly discovered moons were officially named Nix and Hydra. Hail Hydra. On this date in 2006.
Hail Nix.
Hail Nix.
That'd be easier to say. Happy birthday goes out of this date too. English optician and astronomer John Dolan. He's English, so Dolan. Born on this date in 1706. There are a lot of names in here. We're going to apologize now for all of the massacres.
Yeah. So Simeon Denis Poisson, a French mathematician and physicist, was born on the same date in 1781.
Born today, June 21st, 1805, American physician and geologist Charles Thomas Jackson. That one I think I'm pretty sure I got.
I'm not sure. We'll go back.
Thomas?
We'll get the audience to vote in on that. Italian physicist and neurophysicist Carlos Mattucci, born on the same date in 1811.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. French astronomer Jean Chacnerac was born 200 years ago today.
And author Rainyard.
Yeah, it's Calper an English Rainyard. Name, and he still struggled.
Man, look at that. I don't know. English faster physicist and astronomer was born on that same date in 1845.
Born June 21st, 1850, American author and illustrator, co-founded the Boy Scouts of America, Daniel Carter Beard.
Yep. And German astronomer and academic Max Wolf was born 160 years ago today.
Wolf! Max Wolf!
Oh, German. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Helps when you read the... here, I'll...
It sounds like the sound a wolf makes.
Woof! Woof! If I were the king of the forest, I'd woof! Anyway, born June 21st, 1876, Dutch physicist and academic Willem Hendrik Kiesom, I hope.
And German mathematician and physicist Harry Schmidt was born on the same date in 1894.
Born June 21st, 1916, American physicist and astronomer Herbert Friedman.
And German mathematician and computer scientist Michael M. Richter was born on the same date in 1931.
Richter! Richter! Not Richter! Yeah. Stupid Americans. American actress and television personality Mariette Hartley is 83. I put her in here because she was on Star Trek.
Oh, right. And Robert Dewar, English-American computer scientist and academic, was born on that same date in 1945.
Russian colonel, pilot, and astronaut Gennady Padalka is 65 today, only slightly older than we are.
And speaking of Marvel, American actor Chris Pratt was born on the same date in 1979.
That's what you get when you go to a bad fast food restaurant, a Chris Pratt.
No.
Also turning 41 today is William, Prince of Wales. I feel old. I remember when he was born.
Yeah.
Listener birthdays this week include a lot of them. So buckle up. We've got 9, 10, 9. Asky Adam from The Hook Show. Lance Heath from is on the 22nd. Also Jack Stevens, the 22nd. And a third one on the 22nd is Chris Martinez. I owe Lance Heath a letter. I'm way behind by about a month responding to an email from him. The 25th has a couple of birthdays. Late Mark Shepard from Wichita, Kansas. Rest in peace, my friend. Rest in peace. Yes. He's probably listening to that RSS feed in the sky. Also on the 25th, Jim Gookin from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Patrick Norton. Not sure if he still listens or not. He was on an interview years ago. June 26th. And daughter of Will, the computer guy, who is probably now well over 25, I'm sure. Also on the 26th, happy birthday, daughter of Will, the computer guy. That must be tough to sign on your checks. Jordan Burkhead, daughter of Chip Burkhead from the Scotchcast, is even worse to sign on the checks. But hey, she's on the 27th. Happy birthday to all of you. If it's your birthday this week and we didn't call your name out, we wish you all the best. And if you want to get on the birthday calendar.
If we didn't call you out, there you go.
Yeah. If we didn't mispronounce your name, well, that was an accident.
Right.
Craig's going to put the link up on the screen for the people watching the video, but I'll tell you anyway, because not everybody's watching. Many people still listen, and we thank you for that. Yeah. Chuckchat.com/birthday. Go put your name on the calendar. We got a couple that have added recently. Thank you. I think one of them is coming up next week. So see how quickly we can turn that around. You don't have to wait for your turn. That's the way it was. On this day in history for June 21st, 2023. I don't think this is the end or not. Let's find out. If not, I'll fade out. It is the end.
Here we go. And you wanted me to cut the show short.
Sorry, I can't resist doing that.
Aren't you going to say good news?
Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to voice over you.
I just said that for Fry's benefit.
What were you saying?
I was saying you wanted me to watch the time on the show because we were going to talk about other stuff. And you were.
I said to watch the number of stories we put in.
I know.
Because we had a lot of watching TV watching stuff to come up. That's all right. That's okay. People can pause or play at double speed or something. God bless if you can understand me at double speed.
Yeah, welcome to the six-hour Technorama.
I already taught you. We're doing 24 hours of Technorama, and we're not raising money for charity.
Yeah.
All right, an article from CNN that I spotted, and I thought I'd send that to Craig. Interesting science stuff. A team of researchers in the United States and United Kingdom say they've created the world's first synthetic human embryo-like structures. Not the headline that says, scientists report creation of first human synthetic model embryos. The model and the embryo-like part is the important part. These don't have beating hearts and brains and whatnot. They're made from stem cells rather than from sperm and eggs, like most normal embryos are born. Now, there's all kinds of ethical questions and whatnot that they have to come up with and answer and put in some regulation. But they said that what they're doing this for is to help advance the understanding of genetic diseases or the causes of miscarriages. Those are the two big things that they rattle through a couple of times in this article. So I think this is great. If you're taking stem cells and you're not really bringing them to life, although I wonder how that would work.
Well, my first thought when I saw the title of this, I was before I read anything.
Wouldn't that be cloning?
Yeah, I think it's in that same area.
If you took some Craig stem cells and you were able to mature them through the embryo stage and actually create the brain and the beating heart and everything, wouldn't that be you wouldn't have anybody else's DNA in there.
Well, then what are you cloning?
You're not. You're cloning you. It would only have your DNA in it.
Oh, right.
So how does this differ from cloning unless they're just like
asexual reproduction?
Stopping. Well, that might work for some people.
Well, actually, when I first saw this title, without reading anything, my first thought was they would probably use this to help develop the technology to grow organs, you know, certain organs, maybe.
Maybe. We're already doing that with stem cells.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's kind of in that same, also in that same realm.
But it, you're not growing an, or in that case, you're growing like the heart tissue or a kidney or something of that nature.
No, you're, I'm saying it's all in the same.
This is the embryo framework. This is like the whole human being, start of one.
I understand that. I'm just saying when I saw the title, without reading anything, that was the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, organs, that kind of thing.
Sensationalized headlines on the internet? I can hardly believe it, he read, exclaiming.
You know, all the different news sources I block because I get tired of them being sensationalized and highly inaccurate, especially entertainment ones. I'm like, click on one and go start reading. I'm like, that's not happening.
Future world, future space, whatever they are on like, YouTube, keep coming up in my, I'm not subscribed, but they keep sending me notifications. Scientists discover a house on Mars. And then you go watch it and it's 15 minutes of, you know, it's nice information about Mars, but there's nothing about a house.
I know, stupid internet. You know, Kim was starting to look at getting a new mattress. And as soon as she started looking online, I started getting notifications for mattresses. And I was like, well, what I thought was funny, I started thinking. Like,
that's because you have to sleep on the couch.
Well, I was thinking, well, Facebook knows we sleep together now. Because, I mean, they're giving me ads too, so I figured I need one as well.
That's a little TMI. Okay, I mean, Facebook knowing that much about you is too much information.
Well, you know, actually, if you think about it, it's not that big of a leap. What if you and Donna are both on Facebook, and then you play, "Oh, this is my wife. Oh, this is my husband."
Yeah,
you know,
and the from an advertising standpoint, that's pretty smart. Go, hey, if you. You know, it's like pitting the kid against each parent. If mom says no, go ask dad.
Oh, the wife is looking for a new orange juice juicer.
Yeah. Well, send an ad to the husband.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think it's that far off. And then, of course, there's always the weird things that maybe Kim and I were just talking about getting a mattress.
Yeah.
And you start getting mattress ads. I'm like, who's listening?
Alexa, Google, everybody's listening.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quick. What's new with you?
Quick product review. I got a new gadget.
All right.
So I sent you back to South Carolina with the Rodecaster Pro that I got as a promo for doing, or it was a product review we did in the fourth edition of Podcasting for Dummies in 2020. I'd used it a few times, but the one thing I was looking for, adding reverb to the microphone channels, was not available. Right. So I started doing some research and I found out that the Rodecaster Pro 2 has that. In fact, it's all new firmware, a lot of new hardware. Pretty much it's the second generation of a product, not so much as, you know, a one point something.
It's like this one and upgraded.
It is. And unfortunately, it was also upgraded in price. So I went,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a couple hundred dollars more. I'm like, I don't really need four channels. What I really wanted is a small, more portable unit that I could use for karaoke parties, for example, or a backup if we need to do this podcast and, you know, my mixer goes down or has to go in for, you know, whatever. If I need a backup unit. Well, this spring, Rode announced some new products coming out, one of which is the Rodecaster Pro Duo. It's just like the Rodecaster Pro 2, but instead of four mic inputs, it's got two. It's a smaller, compact unit.
Sometimes they did a couple
other things to bring it down. Oh, right. And it's great. The price point is less than the four-channel version. I call it four channels. It's not four channels. It's got more than that because you've got Bluetooth and you've got USB input and there's a bunch of stuff.
And your phone is also phone.
Right. And I
really seven channels.
It is on the screen. Much smaller. Touch screen. So very nice interface. A lot of advanced features in here. And the smart pads. So not only sound effects, but voice effects as well. So if you want to do a robot, you can do a robot while you're holding the button, or do a robot until you press it again. Oh, so you can do it latched or unlatched. I also found out that it has back channels. So if you go mute and solo on one channel and then do mute and solo on another, they kind of turn yellow. It's like, these people will be talking, but not recording to the main channel. Like, oh, it's got routing. So you can say, this mix goes to headphone jack one. This other mix goes to headphone jack two.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And it's got four physical faders, but you can use virtual faders as well. So it's like on the screen, you can do soft key. Touchscreen there for the channels that don't fit. And you can also take like, oh, I want channel three to be USB two. Well, now I want channel three to be my sound effects. So you can you drag these things around. It's just so dirt simple and so advanced for what you get. I'm really digging it so far. I ordered it on Thursday. So they made the product announcement on the 14th. They said, it's now available. Go order it. I went to the first place I usually order things, Amazon. Amazon said, order now and you could get it before July 16th. I went, whoa, that's a month.
Yeah.
I said, ooh, maybe it's, you know, high availability or they haven't shipped it from Australia yet or something. Then I started, I said, I need it on the 22nd and we're leaving on the 20th. So I don't want to get it on the 16th and then not have time to experiment and only go, oh, that was the wrong product. So I did some searching and next I went to Sweetwater, very popular site for audio equipment. They didn't have it listed at all. Went, ooh,
okay.
Not even for pre-order. Then I went to B&H Photo. They had it in stock and said, we can get this to you on the 19th. Went, nice.
Okay.
If I ordered it on Thursday the 15th. So I ordered on Thursday the 15th. I had it on Saturday the 17th. So came in early.
Yeah.
Played around with it on Saturday. B&H does good stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it also came with 6 months of free hosting on Buzzsprout Premium, which is $144 value, which I have no need for. But that was a nice bonus.
You know what? You should give it away.
It also tells me that Buzzsprout Premium is $24 a month. And I'm like, holy crap, that's a lot.
Maybe you should give it away. Sometimes if in the anybody podcasting groups, Facebook or something.
Or if any listeners here want 6 months of, I'm not sure what I have to give you, if there's a code or a, I don't see anything on here that's like, turn this in or register here. We'll find out. Yeah. But if anybody's interested, reach out to me.
Well, I really do like the Rode Podcaster.
Procast. Rodecaster.
Rodecaster, yes.
Which is different than the Rode Procaster, which is a microphone.
Yeah. But it is, it's pretty dirt simple, kind of what you're talking about.
Yes.
You know, with that one.
Yeah. Big red record button. And when you hit record,
you record. Well, I know with the second version, one thing, if I'm not mistaken, and you have that on yours, don't you have a little button so you like the, you can change the set that's on those buttons?
There's six. Mine has six physical buttons. You've got eight, but you can go through pages of these things.
Right. Just below, don't you have two buttons?
Yes,
you can switch between the pages.
On the Rodecaster, on the second generation, they put buttons so you can go backwards a page and forward a page, which I really liked. Because that was kind of nice. Too much touchscreen time going the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, this is great. I paired my Bluetooth with it. I made a phone call and was able to hit the record button. It all worked.
You can do multi-track recording too, which is really nice.
On this one.
Yeah, on all of them. On all of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll say. Yep.
So you can flip between multi-track, which obviously is going to take more storage, or just single mix, whatever the master output is, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. Nice. I like it. If anybody else is interested or has a, you know, says, hey, what do you want to do? I thought about making some videos since I'm one of the first people to get one. And it's like, hey, get more viewership.
You should.
Craig, I don't have time to make more content.
Come on, man. You should be able to whip it out in like 10 minutes.
It's my job. No, if you want a quality one, you don't whip it out in 10 minutes. I'm not doing one of these where I'm holding my phone and it's shaking and you see my fingers poking all over with crap-ass audio, especially if you're making a video actually, about audio.
Well, I think one of the you made me think of like the nitpicks that I had with reviewers, especially early on when people were reviewing phones.
Yep.
They wouldn't set the screen timeout to like say 10 minutes. Because so they're always having to keep fiddling with it to keep the screen on, you know? So I'm like,
yep.
Set it to 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
I got one of those at work today. Someone said, "Hey, I made this video for something I made on ServiceNow." And they said, would you critique the product and the video? Sure, because it's a day off. Why not?
Yeah. Oh, did you?
I did. I mean, it was good. The narrator was, I think, using their built-in microphone or maybe something, because at one point they kind of moved away from it. it got kind of hollow and tinny.
Right.
So here we can see that we've got the number of things you could see on the screen is greatly improved. I'm like, what just happened there?
Oh, yeah.
And then they're using an app that has, I think it's the trial version. So you see a watermark down in the corner. Good.
Oh.
I said, can you spring a few bucks and get that? So we'll see. All right, let's move on. We are going into the Hacks and Strange Stories. This might be Hacks and Horror Stories, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, right?
The world's record has now been broken in two categories for largest and heaviest kidney stone.
Wow.
This thing is the size of a grapefruit.
It looks like an old grapefruit.
How big was the kidney? I mean, your kidney's not bigger. That's bigger than the kidney. And it's the length of a banana.
It had to be at least double the size of the kidney.
Oh my gosh. How do you walk around with that thing? I'd be in agony. This person could not have had a productive life. So in Sri Lanka, this person earlier this month had a grapefruit sized kidney stone. I apologize for the English units here. 5.26 inches long, weighing 1.76 pounds. That's almost a kilogram, because 2.2 pounds is a kilogram. 5.26 inches. That's close to, what, about 28 centimeters, if my memory is about right? It's like, that's nuts. Now, normally, you know, these things are created by hard deposits of minerals and salts. They form in your kidneys. And if you drink water, they just kind of get flushed out and they're little and then nobody even notices. If they get beyond, say, a few millimeters in diameter, then you have to resort to other means, possibly surgery.
Yeah, like ultrasound. Sometimes they'll do that to try and break them up.
Yeah, or just detect them. So.
Right. No, I mean, they'll use vibrations to actually break them up if they're too big, but not this size. This is way out.
I've been told that one of the closest approximation a man can get to feeling the pains of childbirth is passing a kidney stone. This dude had a full grown behemoth. Now, I don't think you pass this one. This one obviously requires surgery. I'm surprised that it didn't like stop up the plumbing and the kidney just like atrophied and died.
I would imagine it had to do some damage. Yeah.
That's nuts. You know, when you go to the doctor and they have those like charts of here's your kidneys and or you go to the dentist and they show you, you know, the gum recession and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. There was one at the nephrologist, which is a kidney doctor, that had the various things that can go wrong with your kidneys. This person's kidneys look like they were in really sorry shape because they had like every malady described on both kidneys. And kidney stones was among one of them, of course. But
yeah,
that's what I think of when I see this thing. I'm like, oh,
wow.
I just, I can't imagine. All right, quick shout out to the chat room. Who did we see? We had Ralph and Jared are the only two people that are chatting, but we do have other people online. Thank you for joining us. We do this show Sundays at 8:30 Eastern time. We'd love to see you there. Put a check mark on your calendar or whatever, an alarm. Make your watch go off. We don't know. We'd love to see you and hang out with us on Facebook and or YouTube. And could you imagine, why would you do both? Facebook and YouTube.
It'll make our numbers go higher.
Backup plan.
Yeah,
belt and suspenders. Maybe it is just Jared and Ralph.
Shout
Ralph
back.
Shouts back. All right.
Yay.
Somebody's watching on two. It thinks we have three viewers. Oh, one left.
Wah,
Ralph
wah.
Got embarrassed and turned off his YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, or turned off his Facebook.
That's right.
Oh, forgot that was running. Yeah. Okay, into Remember When? All right. Well, many of us are fans of high-tech and historical airplanes, jets, and the like. Because, you know, we're nerds. We can geek out over cool stuff. And we like pizza. Yeah, you can buy programmers with pizza vouchers. One of the first model airplanes that I built, because I built cars and trucks and, you know, all that kind of stuff. One of the first model airplanes I built was the SR-71 Blackbird. This was way back in the early to mid-70s, you know, when I was a wee lad and my tester's model glue smelled really good.
Yeah. That explains a lot.
the predecessor to the SR-71 was the A-12 and YF-12A. Don't ask. I don't know. But they look a lot alike. If on first visual inspection, can't tell the difference. You know, Delta wing design. And there's a video and an article here, although the article is highly repetitive. Oh, my gosh. The more I read it, I'm like, does this guy have a memory problem? Because he's typing the same thing over and over. And the only source of... Okay, the skin, most of this plane was made up of titanium because of the high temperatures at high speeds, because it was going in excess of Mach 3 for sustained periods. It's not the first Mach 3 aircraft, but it is the one that could just keep going at Mach 3 for hours on end. Well, the only source of titanium, because of the speed, they had to use titanium, and the only source, well, the best source, I should say, was the Soviet Union. Now, you can imagine, in the 1960s, at the height of the Cold War, you don't just go knocking on your door and say, your neighbor's door and say, can I borrow a cup of titanium? In fact, can
what
I borrow
a
few train loads full of titanium?
Right.
So what they did is they set up all these shell corporations and shells within shells, and a story about... we need the titanium. These corporations, not necessarily the U.S., but these corporations around the world needed titanium to build pizza ovens. And of course, the Soviet Union went, that sounds good to me, comrade. And
we
sent
like
us
pizza.
Send us large pepperoni. And
that's right.
Of course, we built plates out of them. to spy on the Russians, the Soviets. So
Ralph, by the way, Ralph says that was his first model.
Cool. Yeah. I don't think it was my very first model, but it was my first model plane. I also built a Huey helicopter that had about an 18-inch rotor, if I remember right. What else did I build? I built a Peterbilt semi-truck. Built it a old Rolls Royce, like the 1920s kind, where the hood came off.
Mm-hmm.
Chevelle. I made a jade green Chevelle. I loved painting these things exotic colors. They were just I think that was my favorite part. The part I hated most was gluing in windshields. You could never do that without getting glue on the windshield.
Oh yeah,
of course,
or your fingerprint.
At 10 years old. You know, it wasn't necessarily a big thumbprint on the windshield, because the way that glue works is it melts the plastic. It was around the edge. It always looked like, you know, somebody went in with, if it was in real life, it looked like somebody went in with, you know, a putty knife to put your windshield in.
I'm sorry, I can't sign off on this.
It was pretty sad. But there were certain points in those models, particularly on the cars and trucks, where like the suspension was weak. And they give you some of the crappiest parts. Well, you know where you snap the pieces off of the framework? Because they stamp these things as a big template. And then you've got the framework is still left after you snap out the pieces. Well, right. we would save the framework and mm-hmm. cut them into little rods and then light them on fire so that the plastic would melt and mm-hmm. strengthen things. We would create what we called welding rods. This is, now you got to remember where we did this. We lived in a house built in 1882. So we got this big old Victorian home and we're playing with fire in the house. And when those things burned, when you burn those plastic rods, it sent up this black soot.
Oh yeah. Maybe I shouldn't inhale that.
Right. And it would gently fall for the rest of the day. You go to, you know, take your t-shirt for the next day's school. It's got these black charred things all over. Right. Maybe that wasn't a good idea. Wow. Reliving some fond childhood memories all out of an article about getting titanium for pizza ovens. That one kind of took a weird turn.
I did. My first thought was, how many pizza ovens did they estimate they were going to make to be able to say, we need this much titanium?
It's a factory. They're just going to crank these out, so they need lots of titanium. Hmm. Right? How many pizza ovens do you need? Well, how many pizza ovens do you think they sell today? Lots.
Well, then I thought, who makes pizza ovens out of titanium? Well,
it's very hot.
I can search and find a few, to be honest with you. So they really.
Oh, what was that magazine in the airplanes that used to Sky Mall or?
Yeah.
You know, that sold all that premium crap for too much price.
Oh, yeah. Sky Mall.
No, something Edge. The buyer, not Buyer's Edge. It was it Sky Mall? I thought it had a different name. Clinton's going to.
Sharper.
Sharper image, that's what it was.
Yeah.
These are Sharper Image pizza ovens.
Right. That's right.
Made from real Soviet titanium. Right. Okay, let's get a move on and thank our patrons. Where's our patron music? There it is. Orange. That's what I need to push. Orange button. Thank you to our patrons. These are the people that dig out their wallets and hook it up to the internet. And when we produce a show, they say thank you with a dollar or two or five. So thank you to Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris Martinez, Chris MC, Dandy Man Coyer, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, and Gary Lindros. Thank you very much, John Clifford, John Noble, Jorgis Rowan, Crazy Joe Adventures, Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Brad Miller, Mike Wills, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshey, Steve Cody, Steve Therian, Steve Webb, Steve London, and Tim Cook. Woo!
Yes.
Record time on that one. We hook up their wallet to the show, and they cover the cost of hosting.
It's a long cable. They hook it up.
It is. You know,
plug it in.
It's an electronic wallet. It's a new thing they discovered on the internet. If you would like to be part of the family, you go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast, right down there on the screen, yep. Or rewind and listen to that again. If you find this show valuable, entertaining, even if it's confusing, well, you know, a dollar can straighten that out somehow.
Right.
All right. So thank you very much to our patrons, as always. They also, not only do they get their name read on the air, but to get an extra show that we're going to be talking about, we record it right after this, and it comes out right before the regular show. So when they see a patron show come out on Monday, well, this week it'd be Tuesday because we're a little late, they go, oh, yes, there's a new Technorama coming tomorrow. So that's always fun. So let's fade those guys out. Yeah, I don't know if we're allowed to use that music or not. Shh. And we move on to the Pass Me Remote. We had a couple of weeks, so Craig and I have been watching the old tube and going to movies and whatnot. You got four, I got three. We have at least one in common. So
yes,
I'll start with Arnold on Netflix. This is a documentary about Arnold Schwarzenegger. Three parts, about an hour each. First part is when his career as a bodybuilder starts as a child.
As a child, yeah,
when he's growing up in Austria in the, what was the name of the town? Tog. T-H-A-G, mm-hmm. Next to Graz, which was the big town. He and his brother Heinrich? What was his brother's name?
It starts with an M. Not Marigold.
No, I wouldn't name my son Marigold.
But it covers
his dad was actually a World War II POW, not POW, World War II veteran with PTSD. And it greatly impacted his life, Arnold's life, and his brother's life. So it very interesting. They go through, the first one is his career as a bodybuilder. And then in the second episode, moves on to his career as a movie star. Because Arnold is a very interesting guy. He's very focused. He says, I see a vision, and I you know, as clear as day when he was a bodybuilder. Actually, he was watching a movie, and he said, that's what I want to do. I want to be a bodybuilder. And he said, I want to be on stage with a number one bodybuilder award and people yelling, Arnold, Arnold.
Yeah.
That was his vision. And he said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to do that. And he did it. Mm-hmm. And then he pivoted and said, well, okay, now it's time for movies. And he wasn't real successful in the movies at first. In fact, his first movie, they had to overdub his voice because they said, people aren't ready for this. It was like in 68 or 69, he played a version of Hercules, which is what inspired him to become a bodybuilder. A lot of fun. Eventually, of course, he became the action hero of the 80s that we knew. And they had Sylvester Stallone on there talking about, you know, how they were competitive. Every time Sly would do something, Arnold would come back with something else. And the guns got bigger and the explosions got bigger. Arnold really didn't have too many lines. He was known for very few lines. In fact, I think in Terminator, he only had like 13 lines or something.
Yeah, it was something, yeah.
But there was some
a lot less than I thought.
Cool insights. Like, the line wasn't written as, I'll be back. It was, I'll come back. Like, okay, that would have been a whole lot different.
Oh, yeah, I'll come back. I could see that being the line. But
oh,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah. He's you know, you can't talk to Sarah Connor right now. I'll come back.
Yeah.
Not quite it.
I'll call back.
I'll phone in later. And then the third part was his political career. And he was governor from, what was it, 2003 to 2010. He was there for 7 years, governor of California. Mm-hmm. He became a citizen. Unfortunately, the political career really damaged his marriage to Maria Shriver and his family because it wasn't the life that...
Well, no. You know what happened to his marriage?
He dedicated himself. Well, part of it was he had an affair.
Yes.
He had an affair in the mid-90s and had to admit that, what was his name?
Because he had a
Jonathan
son.
He had a son by his housekeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the final.
Joseph.
I think that was the final straw that she just said, no, I'm out of here. But the political career was taking its toll because he was in Sacramento instead of LA. But very impressive man. He said, you know, I never could stop to think about, you know, how am I feeling today? Oh, I'm feeling a little depressed. You know, he said, there's always work to do. There's always something to move forward. There's always, you know, I kept busy. And that, you know, so I could relate to that.
Yeah.
If you're sitting around, it's sitting around thinking time to come up with the idea of what's next. Now, I didn't have the opportunity or the necessity to transform my career. He actually, something that I found was interesting is he was a millionaire before he even got into the movie scene.
Oh, yeah.
He invested in property based on a recommendation from, who was it? Like the guy who brought him over to America and sponsored him and got him into vitamins and all kinds of, it was funny watching him on like these little Japanese commercials.
Oh yeah. Ah, yeah. It was kind of funny.
So yeah, very, very interesting and insightful.
Look, I know he's not perfect, but I do like him a lot.
He had some good messages in there. One takeaway that I got that I actually quoted today in an email to my boss. He said, Ted Turner had a phrase, early to bed, early to rise, work real hard, and advertise. I am so down with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be the smartest person in the room, but if nobody knows, it doesn't do you any good. People have to know what you can do and what you have done, and that's what makes you successful. I think he may have laid on a little thick with the advertisement. What do you call it, schmay? Which is, you know, when you're kind of
BS.
Yeah, the BS story to make you kind of puffed up, this puffery stuff. But it worked for him. It worked for him. He did it. He did a good job with whatever he set his mind to. But I think the at the cost of the family was just a little too much.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. I agree. So, but I did like that. What do you think about the? You like the documentary?
I liked it. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So, my son's in town, so I caught up on a couple of movies. I took him to the movies and caught up on a couple of movies. The Flash, which just came out in the theater. To be honest with you, I liked it because I like the character in itself. There were sometimes I couldn't get past Ezra Miller's personal issues, you know, that he had a big deal with. Because I'm sure Warner Brothers glazed over that stuff or pushed it out so it wouldn't, you know, they could deliver the movie. So I'm not 100%. Happy with that part. However, the movie dealt with a lot of Speed Force time stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ezra Miller playing against himself, because there was like two versions of The Flash, was amazing. He actually did a really good job playing in this movie.
I heard it got mixed reviews. Some people just said,
Yeah. I liked it more than the Rotten Tomatoes score, but yeah, and even Harrison said he did. Now,
Harrison's a pretty good judge.
He is. And so we both liked it more than the Rotten Tomatoes score. But, it wasn't a perfect movie. It was a little messy, but I liked it a lot. What's her name? The Supergirl.
While you're looking that up, Pixar's Elemental did terrible. Pixar's Elemental?
Oh yeah,
it was like the second lowest Pixar movie ever.
Yeah,
and you know, usually when you see Pixar, you're like, "Oh, here comes a great story." Not always, kids.
Yeah, I liked Sasha Kelly. I'm not saying her name right. I'm sure her last name. She played Supergirl in here, which she did a great job. I was like, I kind of want to see her in another project as Supergirl. And of course, it had Michael Keaton as Batman again, and he was great. You know, how can you not like Michael Keaton as Batman? So there was a lot going for it. Like I said, I know it wasn't a perfect movie. It got some mixed reviews, but I certainly enjoyed it.
Good, 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 good. I'm going back to Netflix. I watched a movie. I guess it was a movie series. Mm-hmm. Ip Man 1-4.
I've seen these as well. I watched them all.
Ip Man 1 came out in 2005, 2 came out in 2010, and I think 3 was 2015, and 4 was 2019. They were fairly recent. It follows the story. These are based on a true person by the name of Ip Man from...
Yep. I like Yep.
Yeah. It depends whether or not you had the Cantonese voice. Now, the first episode, you had to listen to in Cantonese with the English subtitles. The number 2, 3, and 4 offered English overdubbing. So I stuck with those. Yeah. And they didn't always agree 100% with the subtitles, as they often don't.
Right.
Which is odd, because you'd think they'd use the subtitles as the script. But anyway, must have been done at two different times.
Yeah.
The first one is he's a martial artist, a kung fu martial artist, a very, very good one. But he has to prove himself against the Japanese in the first one, because his town is basically taken over in World War II by the invading Japanese forces. Then he goes to Hong Kong, And in number two, he has to prove himself against the occupying forces of the English. And then in number three, and all the while, I always wondered, what happened to the first son? They started the first movie, and he's got this 5 or 6 year old kid. And then the second son is born, and the first one kind of disappears from the whole show. I'm not sure what happened to the kid.
We don't talk about him.
Yeah. And I forget if it was movie two or movie three. I think it was movie three. His wife dies of cancer, so he's left to raise his other son, Jin, I believe his name.
Now, it's been a while since I've watched this.
So. And that one, Mike Tyson is in the third one.
That's right.
And
speaking of overdubbing,
then he's actually Bruce Lee's sensei. Mm-hmm. So Bruce Lee learned everything from Ip Man. And Bruce Lee in the fourth movie is already in the U.S. and rousing up trouble with the Chinese community because they're going, hey, you're not supposed to teach this to non-Americans.
Right.
And there was a whole bunch of racism and whatnot happening in the late 60s and early 70s that is really the core focus of him coming to America to find a school for his son, and runs into all these, not just the racism problems, but the political stuff in the Chinese community. It's not that long ago.
Right.
And yet there's, you know, it's like, wow, this stuff was nuts. But I loved reading the epilogue text at the end that said, you know, this is what happened. This is, you know, his benefits, his contributions. He was a man of high standards and high morals.
Yes.
So very good. And some really touching moments as well. There was some wire work. I'm not a fan of wire work in movies. Excuse me. Yeah. A little tickle in the back of my throat. But if you're a martial arts fan and you like the fight scenes and whatnot, there's plenty of it.
Yeah, I enjoy them. I went from basically like what you did. I went from one to the other, to the other, to the other.
Yeah.
Watched them all right in a row about a year or so ago. All right.
What's your next
one?
That's it for Ip Man 1 through 4 on Netflix.
So you enjoyed them except for the wire work?
I did. Yeah, there were a few points where I went, okay. But it was fun.
So again, Harrison and I went back to the movies and we saw Spider-Man across the Spider-Verse.
So he's been into the Spider-Verse. Now he's going across the Spider-Verse. Next he'll go under the Spider-Verse, through the Spider-Verse. How many other prepositional phrases can we get in here?
Beyond. That's the next one. So Beyond will come out next
in the underwear drawer of the Spider-Verse. I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, across the Spider-Verse, I love this animation style. It was great in the first one. Did you see the first one?
I did not. No, wait. Okay. Wasn't Into the Spider-Verse the one with Doctor Strange? No, that was a multiverse.
Yeah, these are animated films. These are separate.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't watch the animated ones.
Okay, so Spider-Man across the universe, Spider-Verse, it's beautifully not drawn, but it's beautifully made. The animation styles are all over the place. All the different characters have their own styles. So there's Gwen Stacy. She's a spider person, and her home with her dad and stuff, everything was kind of watercolor the way it was made. Other people, it looked a little more like dithering, like you would see in a comic book, you know, with the colors and stuff. And all of the characters had almost their own music theme. And there's like a million of them. Means different Spider-Man. Because this is a multiverse, because they're all different variations of.
You get to the dopey universe.
Well, they had you even briefly saw the one from the 1960s. You remember that cartoon? The Spider-Man cartoon?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He was in there. I mean, all of them are in there. So, and a lot of them I know from the comics. And then of course, there's like hundreds of other variations that I'm not familiar with. Anyway. The story was well done. It is a two-parter. The next movie comes out next year. But you can tell they really put their heart and soul in this. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Good. All right. How's it doing at the box office?
I'm not sure.
Did Rotten Tomatoes agree with you on that one?
Yeah, let's see. Rotten Tomatoes, 96%. So, yes.
Nice. Good.
Yeah, I think some movies are having trouble money-wise in general. I don't know if it's necessarily just – it's not the movie. Even The Flash, I didn't think the movie was – the movie was fine. It's just that people are – load up the bad reviews and stuff online, and it's not necessarily fair, I don't think.
All right, my last one is a movie called Living. I started watching this on the airplane coming back from Michigan. And side note here, I have not had any luck watching movies on my Android devices.
What?
On Southwest. I go to Southwest Wi-Fi, I log in, it says, copy this link to your browser. I copy the link to the browser, and it goes back to the same page. Like, what? This is stupid. I can't get any That's content. Weird. It is weird. Works fine on my iOS device using Chrome. Doesn't work on my Android device using Chrome. So I started, just for whatever reason, I decided, let's use that built-in Samsung internet browser. Worked fine. That's weird. Anyway.
Actually, to be honest with you, I like the Samsung browser. It works really well.
But it's not Chrome, so it doesn't, like, remember all my passwords and stuff. It doesn't help with...
Oh, you're using the Google Password Manager?
And credit card rememberer. Yeah.
Wrong.
So, anyway, aside from that, let's not get too far afield. The back to Living. Very slow-paced movie, but that's intentional because it's about a very slow-paced man. And it's not until he discovers he's got cancer and he's about to die. I mean, this guy looks like he's 140. And he works in government. So it's like, yes, let's just put that over here. That'll do no harm. I mean, he's purposely slowing the wheels of government down. And he's got these other people that are doing the same thing. But he discovers he's about to die, and he really throws himself into this project. Wonderfully heartwarming story. There's a little bit of a romance story going on, a little bit of a scandal suspected as well. So people jump to conclusions when he's seen in public with a much younger coworker who went to another company. And he's just not really trying to make the most of his last days, but he just wants to be part of her life and inspire her. And then he finally tells her, I'm dying of cancer and please don't tell anybody. So she doesn't. And I liked it. It took me a while to warm up to this movie. It's like, ooh, this is a snoozer. But if you go in expecting that, it really adds to the impact of the movie itself. So, Living, I found it on Netflix. I started watching it, then the plane landed, and I'm like, yeah, I got an hour to go. And of course, you know, when you're watching movies on planes, sometimes you watch 4 seconds of video to wait 15 seconds for another 4 seconds of video. Well, this will never end. So finally I said, I'll watch at home.
At the end of your flight, they start making announcements, so it pauses.
No, not if you watch on your mobile device. It only does that if you've got the built-in headrest display.
I know. Right.
So Living, all right. You can watch it on Netflix. I liked it.
Okay.
Very well done in terms of period style. It's in England, I want to say in the 50s. Don't know if it was based on a real person or not. But
All right. Well, I got around to watching Creed 3, which what came out in March. It was on Max, I think. I gotta say,
that's
I really
the
enjoyed...
new name for HBO, isn't it?
Yeah, and they dropped the
dumb. HBO had such a well-established brand. Why drop the HBO from your streaming service? Because if I was a new customer and I just heard of Max, I'd think Cinemax. Like, what is this?
Has something to do with Warner Brothers and
doesn't matter
Discovery, and Discovery and all that. Anyway, so I watched Creed 3 and. I've seen the first two and I enjoy them. I'm not a huge sports guy, but I do like some sports movies. And this was really good. This was, I think, Michael B. Jordan's directorial debut. But he's Adonis Creed, you know, son of Creed from the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
Creed, Apollo Creed. And a childhood friend shows up. And I won't go into why he shows up or what happens, but other than the guy Damien was in prison and he got out and he wants his shot at the title, you know, fighting title. So there's a whole story about that. Anyway, so there, I think they kind of glossed over a few things to get to that point, to get him to fight for a title. Cause you know, people work up to that point for a title fight. Mm-hmm. And kind of shortcutted that a little bit. But other than that, I thought it was a really good movie. I can recommend it. If you like, especially the Rocky movies, it's in that vein. So, yep.
Well, Ip Man number two reminded me an awful lot of Rocky IV. Because they had to, instead of the big Russian guy, they're battling the big English guy.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And he kills his friend. And so now Ip Man has to step up and, you know, anyway. Ralph said a few minutes ago when we were talking about Spider-Man, he said defenestrated through the Spider-Verse. You know what defenestration means?
No. What?
To throw out a window.
Oh, come on. I love Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. It's a great word. It only came into my knowledge like a couple months ago when my parents were talking about it.
Right.
Defenestration. Add that.
All right, let's move along.
We got just a couple more things here. We are at the end of the show. Media Corner, Mr. Run and Jump is a new video game. It will be the first cartridge for the Atari 2600, first new official cut game since 1990. So over 30 years. Wow. Now,
yeah, not, I know other people have made cartridges, but that's like, you know, people do it on their own. This is a first official.
Yeah. So if you have a 2600, you can go out and add a new game. Now, the video they have embedded in here is obviously not the one from the 2600, because they're also coming out with this on the PS4 and 5, Xbox One, you know, you get the whole thing, a Nintendo Switch. So they show the high-res graphics and stuff. I wanted to see the graphics for the 2600. But then
I've got a 2600 here. I'll have to go.
Julie's got one. Maybe they're listing it at $60. So the 2600 cartridge, it features 6 worlds, 80 levels, 5 enemy types, and a unique scoring system that decreases points when you collide with baddies. Not bad for a console that once had to dump 14 truckloads of unsold cartridges into a landfill.
Yeah.
So that's interesting news from Engadget. And we thought you would love to hear about it. Okay. Yeah, Craig's still editing this question.
I just worded it a little different.
If you had to recite 90% of a movie and get 100...
To get. I'm sorry. That's what I was trying to...
Get 100K. What do you mean? $100,000?
It was a challenge. If you had to recite 90% of a movie to get $100,000...
Okay. You didn't even have a dollar sign in there. What movie would it be? Okay.
What? Yeah. What movie would it be?
This thing's been edited like 5 times. An hour ago, it said, "What you watch?"
I know. So.
So I've already got 90% of Holy Grail down. Can you give me 100,000 now?
You got to do it. Not necessarily just tell me. No, I would say Holy Grail would be close.
Star Wars, New Hope.
Star Wars, easy, I think. Actually, the first time Harrison was watching it when he was young, I remember my wife said, "I bet you could just recite this whole movie." And I started reciting the whole movie.
It's easy if you're watching it, but can you do it cold? That's harder.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with that. Anyway, there you go. There's the question of the week.
All right. If you had to recite 90% of a movie to get $100,000, that should be we're still working on the wording. We'll get that on social media.
Hey, I'm going to ask ChatGPT, "Hey, can you reword this for me?"
Yeah. Can you make it read in English? If you could get $100,000 by reciting 90% of a movie, what movie would that be? How about that?
Yeah.
All right, that takes us to the end of the show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us live or watching later or listening to the podcast. We appreciate it very, very much. We are going to tell you now, where's our outro music, that if you want to get in touch with us, you can call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. Craig's putting that on the screen for the wonderful people right now.
Yep.
And if you want to get in touch with us via email, technorama@chuckchat.com. Let me go a little slower on that for those of you that are listening at double speed. 707-530-2428. Spells chat. Easy to figure out.
You should make a song out of that.
There's a song about a 707 from that's mentioned in a Steve Miller Band song. Maybe we could just take clips of other things and stitch them together.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Craig, for putting the stories together.
Yeah.
And we'll see you hopefully next Sunday for another show. Until then, give everybody a binary high five.
101.
Bye.
See ya.